Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew. Some key members of our Audio News from Archaeologica team are taking a very well-deserved summer break this week, so we prepared a special edition for you. Our stories this time focus on archaeological research involving epidemic disease in human history and prehistory. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Our four stories in this edition are selections from the audio news shows we prepared between March 29 and August 2, 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic. The worldwide spread of novel coronavirus has directed lots of attention towards this topic, and we think we all have much to learn from epidemics, which repeatedly have altered the course of human history. The audio news team would like to thank our friends for helping us continue the show without a break since we started more than 19 years ago. If you're not already a supporting member, please go to archaeologychannel.org and click on the donate button. Especially now, we can use all the help we can get. For the intrepid travelers out there, we welcome you to register now for one of our upcoming 2021 tours. Please contact us soon about that and see about all our upcoming tours at archaeologychannel.org/tours. You won't have to stay home forever. And now here's Laura Pettigrew with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and this episode covers stories about epidemic disease that we featured between March 29th and August 2nd, 2020. We begin with our story from March 29th, when many of us were living under stay-at-home orders. On March 21st, the 8th Group of Medical Workers from Inner Mongolia boarded a Chinese Air Force plane and traveled 723 miles to fight the coronavirus in Hubei. Wuhan, Hubei's capital, is known to be the kickoff point of the current global pandemic. According to the Indian news network Republic TV, China is not just the kickoff point of the COVID-19 scourge. It also has the unique record of being the first known site of a deadly prehistoric pestilence, or perhaps a couple of them. The oldest of these sites is the 5,000-year-old Neolithic village of Hamin-Manga in Inner Mongolia, an autonomous zone of northeast China. Between the winter of 2011 and the summer of 2015, excavations here led to China's Jilin University team finding the abandoned village of just 29 homes, where 100 charred skeletons were found stuffed inside a hut. The bodies appeared to have been piled one on top of the other in a hurry. How many residents could a 29-house village have? And if 100 of them died, how many were left alive? Anthropologists say their cause of death appears to have been an infection, one that created so much fear that to stop its spread, the villagers did not even bury their dead, as was the common practice. They set the hut and the bodies on fire, and the thatched roof of the hut collapsed. The village was buried in the sands of time, forsaken, isolated, and uninhabited. Researchers don't know what the disease could have been. But most suggest that if it killed so many so quickly and led to such a ghastly mass cremation, it could only have been a virulent infection. A couple of other nearby sites from different time periods also bear the footprints of epidemics, mass burials, and abandonment. What they have in common is the Holocene climate optimum. The Hamin-Manga epidemics all seem to have occurred around the end of a warm climatic period on Earth that lasted for over 4 millennia. We are in yet another period of climate change today, and the world is again a warmer place. And China, where our current pandemic began, has a warmer ground-level average temperature than the global rate. Is history repeating itself? Only science and time will tell. Second up is our story from May 10th about archaeological evidence and the historical perspective. Our knowledge of past human populations shows how we have survived and rebounded after outbreaks throughout history. According to Dr. Anya Kutarba, an archaeologist and ancient historian at Flinders University in Adelaide, Australia, epidemics are just some of the extreme historical events that have threatened humans in the past, and archaeological evidence highlights not just typical reasons societies become vulnerable, but also the ways we respond. Dr. Kutarba researches global connectivity in the past through studying ancient international trade routes and human adaptation to extreme change. She points to three processes in the past that are implicated in outbreaks of infectious disease: urbanization, population growth, and long-distance, large-scale movement, especially for trade. In the short run, ancient epidemics often devastated people. In the short run, ancient epidemics often devastated people who were clustered in cities and traveling and trading widely, and then moved into the countryside to fundamentally disrupt economies. But over the long run, these impacts often led to a stronger economy and significant improvements in the lives of working people. One example is the way the Black Death, which killed a quarter or more of people in Europe in the 1300s, forced landowners and the wealthy to raise pay for the remaining working-class people, which also led to better living conditions for all over the following centuries. While ancient epidemics began with the development of urban life, they intensified with the emergence of the ancient global economy. As reported by the science website phys.org, the first archaeological evidence of infectious diseases comes from the Neolithic period, when small hunter-gatherer groups moved towards a more sedentary life. This allowed for the first large spreads of zoonotic diseases, or diseases that jump from animals to humans. Evidence for the first zoonotic diseases had been found in skeletons from about 2.8 million years ago, in Australopithecus africanus. But it took permanent large settlements with people living close to one another, their animals, and their waste to create the conditions for infectious diseases to spread. The situation got more complicated as far-distance trade flourished between fully urbanized cities, which developed in different parts of the world during the Bronze Age, from about 3000 to 1200 BC. By this stage, populations of ancient cities had already reached over 100,000 people, with ancient Rome said to have reached well over 1 million around AD 200. Trade routes, often tied to the demand for exotic and luxurious goods such as spices, were responsible for widespread outbreaks of infectious diseases in the ancient world and in the medieval and early modern periods. Since the dawn of a global economy, caravans and ships connected disparate peoples, cultures, and ecosystems in unprecedented ways, and therefore cultivated the spread of global diseases. The ancient world had no passenger ships, so all travel had to be on board merchant vessels along trade routes. The word quarantine comes from seafaring jargon, referring to sailors being required to keep to their quarters instead of going on shore to spread whatever illness they'd brought. Biomolecular archaeology and pathogen genetics are new techniques used to study how ancient diseases spread, as well as any biological changes that help the survivors adapt. According to Dr. Kotarba, the small positive impacts of COVID-19-related lockdowns so far include easing the effects of climate change, people doing more gardening and striving to be closer to nature, and populist governments losing some followers as voters find more value in leaders who base their policies on evidence and lead with empathy. Story number 3 from our May 17th edition covers direct evidence of epidemics in ancient African societies and how people responded to them. In the course of human history, some pandemics have dramatically impacted human societies. Examples include the Black Death from 1347 to 1351, the Spanish flu of 1918, and now the COVID-19 crisis. According to the website The Conversation, archaeologists have long studied diseases in past populations. To do this, they consider a wide array of evidence, such as settlement layout, burials, funerary remains, and human skeletons. Archaeological and historical insights also expose some of the strategies that societies adopted to deal with epidemics. In addition to social distancing, these included burning settlements as a disinfectant and shifting settlements to new locations. Findings in southern Zimbabwe also show that it was a taboo to touch or interfere with remains of the dead to avoid disease transmission. In the late 1960s, members of an archaeological dig excavating 13th century house floors of Falaborwa, South Africa, refused to continue work after encountering burials they believed were sacred. They worried that the burials were related to an outbreak. Research at an early urban settlement of K2, part of Mapungubwe World Heritage Site, has thrown significant light on ancient epidemics. Archaeological work at K2 revealed 94 burials, 76 of which belonged to children from birth to age 4. The settlement was abandoned abruptly, around the same time as the burials. That means an epidemic most likely prompted the community's decision to shift to another settlement. Archaeological work at early urban settlements in central and southern Ghana identified the impact of epidemics at places such as Accra Krowa and Asikuma Oboden Brakwa in the central district of Ghana. The settlements were bounded by intricate systems of trenches and banks of earth. After 2 centuries of continuous and stable occupation, they were abruptly abandoned. The period of abandonment appears to coincide with the devastation of the Black Death in Europe. The layout of settlements was also important. In areas such as Zimbabwe and parts of Mozambique, settlements were dispersed to house 1 or 2 families in a space. This allowed people to stay safely apart while still engaging in daily care, support, and cooperation. These behaviors were augmented by diversified diets that included fruits, roots, and other things that provided nutrients and strengthened the immune system. Perhaps the most important long-term implication of epidemics in these communities was that people organized themselves in ways that made it easier to live with diseases, managing them while simultaneously sticking to the basics such as good hygiene, sanitation, and environmental control. Epidemic disease did not bring an end to living. People found solutions that made it possible to manage and live with it. Finally, our last story from August 2nd discusses how DNA from human teeth can demonstrate very early instances of epidemic disease. As reported by the Washington Post, recent studies show that many diseases that were thought to have developed more recently are actually thousands of years old. Some diseases running through human populations apparently cause transformative changes within humanity. The Antonine Plague of AD 165 killed 5 million people, which was a significant amount of the global human population at the time. The Plague of Justinian in AD 541, mentioned in the previous story, also was devastating, killing around 50 million people. DNA from teeth of ancient people remains relatively unharmed from the ravages of climate, erosion, and time. This fact makes possible a look into the history of these diseases. For example, researchers at MIT discovered that the DNA of Salmonella in the teeth of the people in the Volga River region in Russia is over 6,500 years old. Recent discoveries have shown that parvovirus B19, which was thought to be only a few hundred years old, is actually over 6,900 years old, and that hepatitis B is over 7,000 years old. New methods of extracting DNA that were developed for medical purposes have made paleogenomics possible in just the past decade. After using dentist tools and a technique called shotgun sequencing to extract genetic material, decrypting the data requires bioinformatic specialists to match genetic identities to known pathogens. Archaeologists are then tasked with putting human diseases into historical context. According to Christian Christensen, University of Copenhagen archaeologist and co-author of a 2018 study on the plague bacteria in Sweden, the evidence from teeth lends credence to the role of diseases in a time known as the Neolithic Decline, around 5,000 years ago, when native settlements vanished faster than they appeared, soon to be replaced by migrants from the Eurasian steppe, speaking Indo-European languages ancestral to most European languages today. The genetic evidence, in tandem with archaeological finds, appears to support the idea that pastoral lifestyles, in which people began living closely with each other and with animals, made possible the introduction and spread of pathogens among humans. By the way, the Neolithic decline and its causes is one of the chief topics to be discussed during our Megalithic Britain Experience Tour, scheduled for September 2021. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.